So today is the celebration of the Ascension, which is kind of a weird thing, right? Is this like Jesus's beam me up, Scotty moment, you know, where he's like, see ya, I'm out of here. You're on your own. We need to unpack this story a little bit. But I want to first begin by wondering with you a bit about what would have happened if Jesus hadn't ascended. Right, so he had his ministry about 3 years, roaming around, kind of Galilee, Jerusalem, and all that. He's arrested and tortured and crucified and dies and is raised from the dead. And then what if he had just like hung around for another like 40 years and kept on with his ministry and then till he got to some kind of old age and, you know, went to some kind of retirement home, you know, first century equivalent, right? They didn't really have those in those days, you know. People kind of, I think, kept working until they were pretty late. But can you imagine that, right? The disciples, is much more than the 12, right? That's disciples included women and this bigger crowd of people who are following Jesus and learning his teachings and doing his way. If he had stuck around and kept doing what he was doing, they would have just been, all right, Jesus, you keep doing it, right? You keep doing the healings, you keep teaching, and you know, you're doing great, we'll just follow along, and we don't ever have to do it ourselves, right? They would never have grown up, right, into the callings that God gave to them. And so it probably would not have been a good thing, right? For the Jesus movement, for Jesus to have just continued on that earthly ministry and then retired, there's something different going on here. When Jesus ascends, the disciples aren't quite ready for the ministry that they're about to assume, right? I mean, you know, throughout the New Testament, they're kind of not always the most clued in, and we have in today's gospel, Jesus is teaching them about, trying to explain the scriptures to them. And I think they get it kind of, not quite completely, because we know from the Acts reading that they ask Jesus, well, is now the time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Like, are you going to, you know, overthrow the Romans and, you know, all this stuff that Jesus wasn't really about? So they're still a little bit clueless and unprepared, we might say, for the mission that they're facing. Jesus' resurrection and ascension represent Jesus' freedom from the constraints of space and time. His ability to be present in a different way, not to be limited by the constraints of space and time. And it's about him being present in a different way. It's hard for us living in a modern materialist world culture to imagine how someone can be present, right? Without being bodily present. For Jesus to be spiritually present with us, unlimited by the constraints of space and time. And that's what this story is about. It's about God promising to send power, right? We'll get to that next Sunday, Pentecost, right? The power of the Spirit who makes God's presence knowable to us, who leads us in the here and now. And so this story is really interesting to me because we're not at Pentecost yet, right? Now, it could have been that if Jesus, you know, ascended and the Holy Spirit could have come right then and we would have had Pentecost on the same day. But that's not what happens. There's a gap. There's a bit of time in which the disciples need to learn something really important. And that is to wait upon God's leadership. So what they do here, Jesus ascends, they go back to Jerusalem. And this is developed a little more elsewhere in the New Testament. They spend time in prayer together in community. They need to learn to be led by the Spirit of God, which is what prayer is all about, right? before they launch into the ministry that God calls them to, for which they are pretty much, in some ways they're prepared, in other ways they're really not prepared. But isn't that kind of how it is for all of us, right? Have you ever been called into something that God wants you to do and you don't feel ready? And somehow there's this opportunity and you kind of get pushed into it and you grow into it along the way, right? That's how it is for Jesus' followers in these stories. So one way to think about the Christian life is that it's really about a process of growth, right? Growing up spiritually. And there are texts in the Gospels where Jesus talks, and also elsewhere in the New Testament, where there's reference to being perfect, right? Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect and things like that. But in Greek, what that really means is being fully grown up, right? Be mature. And that's a process, right? It's a long process that the disciples all lived into over time. It wasn't an immediate thing, and it stretched them in some really powerful ways. And that's, I think, really important for us as we reflect on this celebration of the Ascension and wonder about, you know, where is Jesus in today's world, right? A world that, just like the first century context, remains full of violence, as we saw this week, hatred, division, suffering, and pain, and in which more and more of, I think, the stories that gave people a sense of hope no longer seem plausible, and people are turning away from one another rather than finding unity and community. Jesus's ministry was about restoring people to community, freeing them from the past, from shame and guilt, forgiving them from all that they'd done wrong in order to be in right relationship with God and one another, right? In order to rebuild and restore community. And that's what Jesus calls his disciples to. So you notice he says, you shall be my witnesses. Not like, go be my witnesses, or, you know, I'd like you to be my witnesses, but it's very descriptive. You will be my witnesses, right? That's who you are. You've had this experience, and you will do this, right? And I think it's easy for us to look back in that and say, well, they hung out with Jesus for 3 years, and of course, that's what they went and did. But that applies to them and not to us. I'm not sure that's the truth, though. I think Jesus says to us also, you will be my witnesses. And I think that often plays out, not necessarily in the big and spectacular, but in the concrete and ordinary and local and small, right? Simple things that we do in which we show forth, even in imperfect ways, to our neighbors, to our loved ones, the compassionate love that we know God has for us and for the whole world in Christ. So that's what I want to wonder with you about a little bit today. How do we embrace this posture of waiting to be led by the Spirit, right? This time we have in the liturgical year between Ascension and Pentecost, right? Just as a metaphor for us to think about what it means to wait upon God, which I think is really hard to do. Really hard to do when so much, I think, in us and in our culture says, get busy or do something or, you know, just try something, rather than being patient enough to listen to where we're being led. And we know from Scripture so often that leading is in places that we don't look to first, or comes out of unexpected directions and often sends us in directions that we would not have imagined. You will be my witnesses. Think for a minute about your daily life, the people that you encounter, that God has placed you among, where you work, where you live, where you play, those neighbors What would it mean for you to be a witness to Jesus, to God's good news in those spaces? It's going to look different for all of us, but I think it's often simple acts of compassion, being present long enough with someone to listen deeply to their stories and struggles and dreams. It's compassionate acts like helping feed the hungry. Some of us will do that this afternoon at Loaves and Fishes. And also attending to the spiritual hungers that are out there as well. All the different ways that we engage in God's work of restoring community. Reaching out to the solitary and the lonely. Creating community. And as so many of the false promises of our age disappoint people, to be able to point them to a more adequate place of hope, right, that comes from beyond us, the hope that we have in Christ. So all these simple ways in which we embody God's abundant life, those are the ways in which we can be witnesses, because we have experienced something that God gives us in Christ, a power, right? A power and a presence of God's renewing of the world. So Jesus, in ascending, does not abandon us, but is present in a different way, present in freedom. And in fact, that freedom is our future too. The resurrected life is our eternal life, right? Freedom from the constraints of space and time. There are many cultures in the world that have kept, I think, this sense of spiritual presence of ancestors, loved ones, friends, family, community, in ways that modern Western culture has tended to lose. And that is partly, I think, what this is about, that we are not alone, that when we stop and listen for God's leading, we are united in the Spirit of God with all the faithful who have gone before us. And our witnesses, our role as witnesses is to join in that great cloud, right, of witnesses, of great community that is our destiny. My prayer for you this week, as we look ahead to Pentecost, is that you might find time and space to pause, to be led by God, to listen, that you might join in God's compassionate love for the world. Amen.